Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The rain could be heavy at times through Wednesday.
Winter weather moving into the area could mean hazardous driving conditions tomorrow morning.
The Laughlin Project may be back on the table for the physical court in the city of Moorhead.
The Dollar General in Lewis County has been shut down.
A Fleming County man has been indicted for sex crimes against a minor.
Kentucky lawmakers say pension reform bills could still be filed in Frankfort.
In sports, Round County's girls face off with Fleming County in the 61st District Tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain and snow overnight with a low around 54. We'll have a look at the region's extended weather forecast after this news.
A winter weather system moving into the Commonwealth later this evening could make for some hazardous road conditions tomorrow morning. The National Weather Service in Jackson has issued a winter weather advisory for the area until 4 a.m. Pete Gigerian, is a forecaster for the National Weather Service. He says the system will make its way into the southern part of the state around 6 o'clock.
So arrival time for the Moorhead area, it looks like generally in that 9 p.m. to midnight time frame when that wintry precipitation is going to move in. And as far as amounts go, you know, Moorhead probably around a half inch, maybe closer to 1 to 2 inches as you get further north.
Gigerian says most of the accumulation will affect more elevated areas, but to not rule out slick roadway conditions.
The Round County Physical Court voted to put the Laughlin Project back on the table today during its regular monthly meeting. The new proposal splits the bill between the city and the Physical Court, while Parks and Recreations would be responsible for managing the building. Judge Executive Harry Clark says the county will monitor the public's use.
Realistically, you know, $200,000, you know, that's half of that's going to the county, half of that's city. It's pretty cheap, really, for recreation. I don't know where else we could do that. And try this. I mean, this may be a trial. This is going to tell us where we've got that participation that everybody talks about. If we try it a while and it doesn't work and we don't have participation, we'll document participation. We come out of it.
Clark says the trial run for the Laughlin Project would last 6 to 12 months.
Moorhead City Council will hold a special meeting tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. The council will discuss a proposed agreement with Moorhead State University, the Round County Fiscal Court, and the Tourism Commission to lease the Laughlin Health Building for community recreation. Moorhead Mayor Laura White-Brown says they will also discuss a resolution to purchase a new garbage truck for the city, which could cost $200,000.
This would be considered an emergency. We have to have one. Our backup truck can only pull us through for so long. It has a lot of issues itself. It's 17 years old, so we are in dire need of one.
White-Brown says in addition to purchasing the truck, she hopes the council will be able to finally decide if the city will support the agreement with MSU or pursue other recreational opportunities.
Brady Industries is seeking funds from a federal loan program that hasn't given out a loan in almost 8 years. According to the Courier Journal, the company planning to build an aluminum mill in Greenup County has applied for the U.S. Department of Energy's Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing Loan Program. That would cover almost half of the $1.7 billion cost to build the mill. The program was created to support businesses making certain kinds of fuel-efficient cars or parts. It has issued loans to five companies, two of which shut down without repaying millions of dollars in taxpayer funds. The state government has invested $15 million in the Brady plant, which broke ground last June. The mill would reportedly create more than 500 jobs.
The Lewis County Health Department has closed a local business due to a rodent infestation. The Ledger Independent reports the Tollesboro Dollar General closed last week after an inspection. LCHD officials say the origin of the, quote, severe health violation is unknown, but it didn't happen overnight. The health department will inspect the store again after the infestation is cleared.
An elderly woman died in Martin County Fire Monday morning. According to EKB-TV, crews responded around 9 a.m. after a 911 call was made reporting a fire on Runyon Drive near the Hatfield community. Neighbors and relatives of the home's resident, 70-year-old Kathy Runyon, were also there and told firefighters they believed she was still inside. William Petrie is an officer with the Kentucky State Police.
Several different departments responded, along with our arson investigation unit from Post 9. After the fire suppression had taken place and they could enter the residence, they did discover one person inside deceased from that fire.
The body found inside the residence is believed to be that of Runyon. An autopsy will be performed by the state medical examiner in Frankfort.
A Fleming County man has been indicted for alleged sexual crimes against a child. A grand jury handed down a 3-count indictment Friday against 25-year-old Jonathan Gully. Gully is charged with 3 counts of first-degree sexual abuse of a minor. The incident allegedly say that Gully subjected a 13-year-old girl to sexual contact on 3 separate occasions in the fall of 2018. Court records indicate that one of those offenses allegedly took place at a church in the Fox Valley community. Court records indicate that the warrant has been issued for Gully's arrest. He's scheduled to appear in Fleming Circuit Court on April 19th.
A Johnson County man has been indicted on charges of sexual abuse. WYMT reports Michael Bundren is accused of sexual abuse of a child under the age of 12. A Johnson County grand jury handed down an indictment on the felony charge Friday. Bundren was taken to the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center. If convicted, he faces 1 to 5 years in prison and a fine.
A man in Winchester has been arrested regarding multiple instances of incest and sodomy spanning over a decade. The Winchester Sun reports 56-year-old Jeffrey Plunk faces 2 counts of incest with a victim younger than 12 and 2 counts of incest with a victim younger than 18, among other charges. Plunk was indicted in September of 2018, but wasn't taken into custody until last week. The indictment lists 4 different victims with incidents occurring between 2007 and 2016. He's being held on a $100,000 cash bond in the Clark County Detention Center.
A former Louisville city worker has pleaded not guilty to charges including murder and the death of a police detective on Christmas Eve. News outlets in Louisville report 60-year-old Roger Burdett appeared in court Monday for an arraignment after being indicted last week. He is also facing 4 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, driving under the influence, and failing to yield to a stopped emergency vehicle. The prosecutor's office said 4 people were inside the vehicle, stopped by 32-year-old Louisville police detective Deirdre Mingdott on Interstate 64 downtown. Police have said the former Metropolitan Sewer District employee was driving a semi-truck belonging to the district when he crashed into Mingdott's police car, which burst into flames. An arrest citation said Burdett admitted taking prescription drugs. His bond is set at $200,000.
A supervisor for a detention center in Catlettsburg has been fired following investigations surrounding the accidental release of an inmate. Boyd County jailer Bill Hensley says the guard did not follow proper release protocol that led to the accidental release of 31-year-old inmate James Brewer last week. The guard will not face charges. Hensley says a second inmate has been charged with facilitation and conspiracy to escape in connection with Brewer's release. 35-year-old Todd Lisnak is accused of giving Brewer his identification bracelet and information to help coordinate the escape. Hensley says the escape would never have happened if the guard had followed proper protocol. Brewer was captured 3 hours after being released. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
With a deadline to file a House bill is fast approaching, Kentucky lawmakers say pension reforms could still resurface. WUKY's Josh James has more.
For now, pension reform remains in limbo, with the legislature's bipartisan public pension working group bypassing its first soft deadline of February 15th without a report. Still, Senate President Robert Stiver says some lawmakers have been taking a piecemeal approach.
It depends on how you want to define pension overhaul, because I think we will deal with a substantial portion of it. I don't know if we'd get it all put to bed, but I think there's a likelihood we could put it all to bed. Slim, but I think there will be a substantial part of it dealt with at least.
But Louisville Republican Representative Jerry Miller tells the Courier-Journal he will file a bill containing reforms similar to those in 2018's now-defunct pension bill unless education groups come forward with a new proposal. Republican Senator Damon Thayer says he's filed a shell bill that could house pension reforms if needed. Wednesday marks the halfway point of the 30-day session. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
With the deadline to file bills in the Senate already passed, time is running out for lawmakers to introduce a charter school funding bill. Despite the inclusion of the issue on the State Department of Education legislative agenda, some lawmakers say there isn't much appetite this year. Lexington's Republican Senator Alice Forgy Kerr says a funding bill is in a non-budget year is a steeper climb.
Anything can happen, but as of right now, I don't see the sense of the caucus to go in that direction.
Many Democratic lawmakers and outspoken public educators have shown strong opposition to the idea.
Legislation introduced in the Kentucky General Assembly would roll back unemployment benefits in the state. Twin bills in the House and the Senate would cut the maximum number of weeks unemployed workers could access the benefits from 26 to 20. It would also phase down the benefits 25% every 5 weeks and cut the weekly benefit rate by another 11.5%. Dustin Pugel is with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy.
When you add those up, it's about a 40% cut to what your maximum benefit could be. On average, it would be about a 20% cut.
Pugel warns the cuts could hit hardest in rural counties. They have yet to recover from the recession. Benefits cut were dropped from an unemployment system overhaul bill in 2018 to gain bipartisan support.
A judge has ruled a candidate in Kentucky's primary elections cannot use his nickname on the ballot. KNN's Paul Miles has the story.
He's a Republican running for Kentucky Secretary of State.
Hello, I'm Carl Trumpnet.
But the current Secretary of State, Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes, refused to allow the Trump nickname, claiming the ballot was being manipulated for political gamesmanship. A Franklin Circuit Court judge agreed, ruling that Carl Net lacks a legal right to use the politically advantageous nickname, and the Secretary of State did not act arbitrarily in removing the nickname from the ballot. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking an extended look at this evening's forecast. Tonight, 100% chance of rain and snow mix, steady temperature around 36. Wednesday, chance of precipitation is 100%. Thunderstorms could produce heavy rain, patchy fog before 10 a.m. Wednesday night, thunderstorms possible, chance of precipitation is 100%. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 50. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. Friday, a 20% chance of rain after 2 p.m. Taking a look at the WMKY's listening area temperatures, 39 degrees in Ashland, 38 degrees in Inez, 37 degrees in Winchester and Lexington, 36 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 37 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a student at Morehead State University has seen success in the real world when she was just trying to get a grade in a class. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
It's a niche that I didn't even realize existed. Like, coin collecting is mainly, it's a hobby of older men, 100%. And so, like, I'm already a really weird demographic to be interested in coins.
That's Leanna Spurrier, Louisville native and senior convergent media major at Morehead State University. She's also been an on-again, off-again coin collector throughout her life, leading her to follow fellow enthusiasts on social media platforms like Instagram.
And they'll, like, have giveaways and raffles and all this stuff. So David McCarthy was running this giveaway for, like, a replica of this weird coin I'd never seen. But I was like, why not? I'll enter. And it was a very, very big giveaway. It was very important. Everyone was entering. Anyway, and I ended up winning, like, the first prize in it.
David McCarthy is an esteemed coin expert, known well throughout the collecting community, and receiving the weird coin left Spurrier both thrilled and curious to know more. Through research, he was able to figure out it was a replica of early American currency, but unfortunately wasn't able to put much focus on the coin at the time.
So then I was like, well, now I have to figure out what I won. So I started researching it, and it was a replica of that first coin. And, like, I wanted to know more about it, but, you know, I had to do school. So I was like, well, I'll figure that out later. And then we got this assignment to make a documentary about something historical. And I'm like, ooh, I can do that coin.
So as part of Spurrier's feature and documentary course, she was now able to put in the necessary effort to find the coin's origin. She figured it out.
The series was known as the Nova Constellatio series, okay, because it had that written on the obverse. The coin itself is known as the plain obverse quint because it is the only one in the series that does not have that legend on it. It does not say Nova Constellatio.
So with the research done, the compilation of documentary material could now commence, but Spurrier said she wanted to try making something a little different compared to what had been done in the collector's community before.
And so most of the coin videos that are out there are either just like an interview. It's like, okay, let's show this man or show this speech that happened at this convention and have a couple graphics here and there or like a couple cutaways and that's it. Or it's a younger person on YouTube just like searching through coin rolls or doing something like that. There's very little like the style of documentary that I made where it's shorter. It's like, okay, we're going to inform you of something and hear visuals to back it up.
And it paid off.
I put it up on YouTube and my like biggest hope was that David McCarthy would see it and enjoy it. That was the only goal. And I think like the day after I put it up, I got a message from him like, hey, I saw that and it made my month. And I'm like, all right, I have succeeded. And then he messages me again. And it's like, oh, by the way, I sent it to National Geographic and they liked it. I also sent it to Coin Week and they want you to email them.
So typically the point of going to college is to become an employable individual upon graduation. But it seems Spurrier skipped a couple steps.
They ended up hiring me as a content creator, so I've mainly been writing articles for them. And then like I got an email a few days later from the Newman Numismatic Portal, where I got a lot of my information asking to feature it on their website. And then they wanted to talk to me about producing more videos and sponsoring them. And then another collecting club contacted me for more videos, and it spread.
Spurrier is set to graduate in May, and she says while she's enjoying her current work, she'll also be seeing what other doors continue to open. Her video on the Nova Constellatio set can be seen on YouTube. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd.
It's 4:48 and 37 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Naya Andweza has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
District tournament action takes place across the 16th region tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Naya Andweza. The Lady Vikings open 61st district tournament play tonight with Fleming County. Rowan ended regular season action last week at 20-9, while the Panthers stand at 6-12 going into tonight's matchup. Rowan beat Fleming twice during regular season play, but head coach Matt Stokes says his team won't go into tonight's matchup, expecting an easy win.
Well, I expect they'll come have everybody ready to go and ready to play, and I'm sure that their coach is making a lot of adjustments himself because he's played us twice and he's seen us do a couple of things. And so, you know, third time's a charm, you could tell him, and have his girls ready to go.
The girls of Bath County play Menifee in the nightcap game of the 61st District Tournament in Morehead tonight. Tip-off is set for 8 p.m. The winner of tonight's matchups will advance to the district championship on Thursday at 7 p.m. Looking at boys' postseason action over in the 62nd district, Carter County rivals East and West Carter will face off tonight at 7 p.m. The winner of tonight's game will play 16th region favorite Elliott County in the championship round on Thursday in Olive Hill. Boys action in the 63rd district begins tonight in Lewis County. The host school will play Greenup at 7 p.m. And in the 64th district, Boyd County and Fairview face off at 7 p.m. at Ashland Blazer tonight. The winner face off with Ashland Blazer in the championship game Thursday at 7 p.m. The Rowan County boys are back in the gym today preparing for the 61st district championship tomorrow night. The Vikings are coming off a 77-56 win over Menifee County. Rowan will face off with Bath in the championship game. The Lions took a first-round win from Fleming 35-28 on Monday. Rowan County coach Sean Thacker says he was happy with the win, even though two of his players were out for illness.
We went in full strength, but at the end of the day, you know, best we can be expected. We just got to hope to continue. It always happens this time of the year, seems like, with sickness. You know, last year, Stewart Kidd at Boyd County didn't play against us in the semis because he was out sick with the flu. So, you know, it's one of those variables that are uncontrollable this time of the year.
Tip-off for Wednesday night's championship game is set for 7 p.m. The MSU women's basketball team is in the gym this week, preparing for a road game Thursday with Jacksonville State. The Eagles are coming off a 68-52 win over rival Eastern Kentucky on Saturday, moving MSU to 10-4 in conference play. Head coach Greg Todd says he was happy with his team's performance against the Colonels.
It was a much better defensive effort, and I thought we had some moments offensively. It felt like we turned the ball over at times more than we needed to, but at the same time, did some good things, and got to now get prepared for a very tough road trip. But it was good to get back in the win column.
Tip-off Thursday in Jacksonville, Alabama, set for 6:15 p.m. You can see that game live on ESPN+. The Morehead State University's men's basketball team is back on the road this week. The Eagles are heading to Florida for a Thursday contest with Jacksonville State. Head coach Preston Spradlin says he'll be working with his guys on executing during key situations after their weekend game with Austin Peay came down to the final seconds.
Obviously, we wanted to get something to the rim. You're down two. You don't need a three. We wanted to be aggressive, wanted to get it up on the glass, and we were going to send five to the glass so that we could have a chance to offensive rebound it. But that's the thinking behind that. I don't like to overthink things. I don't want to try to, I don't want to end up on Twitter with somebody saying, wow, that was a fantastic play he drew up. I want to say, wow, he gave it to his best player and gave us a chance to win, and that's what we did.
Tip-off in Jacksonville is set for 8:15 Thursday. A newcomer to the Morehead State University baseball team is receiving some high praise. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
Making his Morehead State debut in Saturday's doubleheader at Furman, redshirt junior Chase Sorter introduced himself to Eagle fans and the Ohio Valley Conference in a big way, claiming OVC Player of the Week and Collegiate Baseball Newspaper National Player of the Week honors. Sorter, a Temple, Texas native, comes to Morehead State from McLennan Community College in Texas. During his freshman season in 2017, he helped McLennan to a 52-13 record and an appearance in the NJCAA World Series. In addition to being named OVC Player of the Week and a Collegiate Baseball National Player of the Week, Sorter is a nominee for U.S. Baseball's Golden Spike Award Performance of the Week. Fans can help Sorter claim this national honor by heading to @USAGoldenSpikes on Twitter and vote for Sorter in the organization's weekly poll. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Featuring six home games for the second consecutive season, Morehead State's football schedule for 2019 has been announced. The schedule features two non-conference home contests, including a Thursday night opener and four Pioneer League home games. The slate kicks off on Thursday, August 29th, when the Eagles host in-state foe Union. The Bulldogs from Barboursville and members of the NAIA Mid-South Conference were 2-8 in 2018. MSU's first road contest is a trip to Illinois State on September 7th. The Missouri Valley Football Conference Redbirds finished 6-5 in 2018. It will mark the Eagles' first trip to play in Normal, Illinois since 2011. Ticket information as well as promotions will be finalized later and available on MSUEagles.com. And that'll do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Basketball welcomes Murray State for an evening doubleheader on Thursday, February 28th. The women's game begins at 5:05, and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose slightly after President Trump hinted once again he may push back a key trade deadline, and equities also got a boost following strong quarterly numbers from Walmart. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 8.07 at 25,891.32. The S&P 500 was up 4.16 at 2779.76, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 14.36 at 7486.77. The president said that trade talks with China are going well, adding that the current March 1st deadline is not a, quote, magical date. Both countries have until then to come up with a deal, otherwise additional U.S. tariffs on Chinese products could take effect. And as mentioned in earnings news, Walmart shares very strong, rising more than 2% after the company reported better-than-expected earnings, and the retailer also said e-commerce sales grew by 43% in the previous quarter. Freeport-McMoRan was up over 4% after an upgrade from a brokerage firm, and Alesion dropped almost 4% after missing on revenue estimates for the fourth quarter. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.8% at $56.05. Gold was up 1.7% at $1,344.20 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was down slightly, down 0.2%. And in Asia, stocks were mixed with the Nikkei up 0.1%. And the Hang Seng was up or down 0.4%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and Procter & Gamble, while the worst performers were Nike and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Noble Energy, and the worst performers were Alesion and Electronic Arts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger up 4 cents at $29.54, U.S. Bancorp was up a penny at $51.32, Dollar General was up 16 cents at $119.16, Marathon Petroleum up 40 cents at $65.02, AK Steel up 13 cents at $3.11, and Humana was down $4.95 to finish at $305.35. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking a look at the weather for tonight, 100% chance of rain and snow mix, steady temperature around 36. Wednesday, chance of precipitation is 100%. Thunderstorms could produce heavy rain, patchy fog before 10 a.m. Wednesday night, thunderstorms possible, chance of precipitation is 100%. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 50. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 35. Friday, a 20% chance of rain after 2 p.m., high near 50.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Shaw Marie Mosley, Jacob Lindberg, Wyatt Melton, Logan Pemberton, Naya Andweza, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.